What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome you to Porch Talk. We are at Munson Brothers Trading Post, and I have none other than the Groove Johnson, Philip Saville, Matt Mason.
What up?
What's up, my man?
Y'all may remember it was Porch Talk's first dip into the Bentonia Blues. I had Mr. Philip Saville on to talk a little bit about
That's the blues.
And now I got the whole Groove Johnson. I got the drummer here.
Yep.
You learned a little bit about Philip the first time.
You had the Johnson, now you got the groove.
Yeah. I listened to it. I'm an avid listener, Alan. I enjoy it. So we just keep preaching the gospel.
Yeah, that's right. Somebody's got to save us.
That's right.
But, Matt, I want to start with you, and then I'll roll over to Philip. But just about you, man, where'd you grow up at, and how the heck did you get into music?
So I grew up about 15 minutes south of Philadelphia in Union, Mississippi. It's a little one stoplight town. Don't blink, you might miss it.
Mm, I'm familiar.
Right down around Philadelphia. And me and Phil, I was playing for like a cover band for many years when I was first learning drum set and first starting out. And me and Philip, we used to just do a little jam out at my house. I can't remember what we called it. It was some stupid name. The Green Burritos. The Green Burritos Jam.
The Green Burritos.
So, you know, I cut my teeth in the cover band scene, just playing drums for like a lot of just classic rock covers. And just we used to just call it the heroin for the fans, just giving them what they wanted.
Oh, yeah.
But now we've definitely ventured into the deep blues, the deep jam. Me and Philip have been playing together for, what, like 7 years
about
now?
About 7 years.
So.
Yeah, just so twin brother. I mean, and y'all both play drums?
No, he plays bass.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a guitar player. Yeah, I started playing drums when I was 10 years old in the school band. And I feel like that's a big thing for like most drummers that you talk to. They started in the band. That's what I did. I went all the way up to the collegiate level. I actually taught drumline at Lake Central High School in Carthage for a couple of years. And just, I was in like the real formal drumming scene before I ever got in drum set. I didn't start playing drum set till I was 21 years old.
Was that transition tough or?
No, it was super easy because I had so much formal training coming in
that
I just kind of applied. I really started learning like the informal training. It's almost weird to untrain yourself, you know, playing from like going from strictly drumline music and then going into, you know, cover band music. I really enjoyed that transition, especially playing music that's original.
I've got a, preach. I think about
it. You're damn right.
When I first got on the guitar, my grandmother took me to DC Music here in town. It doesn't exist anymore, but the guy was like into classically training people. Man, I took 3 lessons, and I was like, oh, this ain't the way.
Dude,
I want to rock.
That's what you come to realize. Yeah.
I'm trying to.
I don't want this, you know.
I want to climb the mountains I want to climb, you know what I mean? I'm trying to hear what I want to hear.
That's exactly so I was, you know, playing by ear, and of course, at that time, the advent of the internet, a little website called Ultimate Guitar came out.
Yes,
absolutely.
I don't know shit about guitar, you know what I mean? Yeah. I could play the hell out of one, but I don't know nothing about it. I'm serious. I can show you where every note is on it. I can tie them all together and make it sound good. But you show me, you say, hey, man, play this scale. Nah.
You know, that's the thing about it, right, is, like, just talking to Jimmy, he's like, I couldn't even tell you what I tuned it to.
Right.
Yeah, I told him what his tuning is.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people told him, but he had this one guy over there, first time I went, and he, like, told the guy to tune his guitar, and then as soon as he picked it up, you know, he started down-tuning everything, and the guy was off. And I asked the guy, I was like, so what is Jimmy tuned to? And he goes, oh, I think it's like open D. And I was like, all right, you know, that doesn't sound right, but okay. Uh-uh. Okay. And then so, you know, two or three times later, I looked over at Jimmy and I said, ma'am, you play in open C sharp, a little bit flat off of that, and then you take your G string and you go an extra half step down. And that's what he does. It's essentially C sharp from top to bottom, C sharp, G sharp, C sharp, E, G sharp, C sharp. Mm-hmm. And that's when I play with him, that's what I play.
You know,
and he picked up my guitar and played it without changing anything, so I figured I must have had it right.
Yeah.
And that's about the only way I knew.
Yeah. I actually bookmark on my computer the article that Ryan Lee Crosby put out mm-hmm. about the tuning because it's the only correct article I found on the internet about the Bentonia blues.
What it's actually played at, yeah.
And what's crazy to me is, like, I'm just picturing in my mind, like, Henry Stuckey, like, teaching Jimmy, like...
Yeah.
And, you know...
60 years ago.
Yeah. And, I mean, and there's no technicality about it.
Mm-mm. And then even wilder than that, you know, you came to the Grammy thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think you had gone by the time Deke Hart played.
I called Deke, I think.
Yeah.
I think
at Deke. That very end of Deke's set, we all got back up there.
And, I missed that for sure.
And did a big old jam. And Jimmy kind of started and then kind of eased out of there. Well, we were playing in Bentonia tuning. And I showed Deke Hart, who is a badass. Mm-hmm. I showed him how to play Bentonia right there on stage. And he just picked up like that. But after we got done, I was like, so, you know, Henry Stuckey used to have a guy that played harmonica with him.
Mm-hmm.
And Bud Spires and was his name. And Henry Stuckey played that same tuning. And I asked Deke, I said, what key harmonica would you even need to play with that? He was like, it would be F sharp harmonica key, which is really hard to find.
And that would be cross harping, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Then that's how most blues is played on the draw, on the end tape.
Mm-hmm.
And like most rock and stuff is played straight harp.
That's right.
On the blow. And most blues is played on the inhale, on the cross harp. Yeah. And so he says F sharp. And then he was like, but there'd be a couple notes in there that you couldn't play. Because what Jimmy does is go from major to minor to major to minor to major to minor. And he was like, if you hit one of those at the wrong time, one of those key notes,
you know it.
He was like, you couldn't even play those notes. You would just have to leave those out and play like your bass notes.
Yeah.
And I will say this, speaking to the rhythm of Bentonia blues, as a drummer.
Yeah, like, let's hear that
What
story.
Did Jimmy tell you?
Yeah.
What did Jimmy tell you? Jimmy taught him how to play drums with Bentonia. He's like, to play drums with the Bentonia blues, you have to do this.
Yes.
Yeah, let's go there. Let's go.
Okay, so the first time I played with him, I thought that he was purposefully making the rhythm super hard, so I couldn't even follow it. And it almost is like that when you play it. It feels like straight four. But then when you actually get behind the set and start cutting up with Jimmy for like the third time, I realized, like, oh, he's playing like 6/8, boom, over everything, but in the most unique way, where it's like he's popping his stuff in straight four, but then as the drummer, you have to follow him in 6/8, and it was like just very complicated at first to wrap my mind around. I was like, Bentonia is different.
What is it? He told you at I can't remember which time it was, but he told you, he's like, if you want to play the Bentonia blues, watch my foot.
That's literally what I did. Don't
do anything else. Just watch my foot.
Yep.
And you can play it.
That's his little keys, man. I've had like two very, very small, you know, time amount blues lessons from Jimmy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, like, I didn't record it, but it's like just so fresh on my mind. But it's like when I get home to practice it, it's like almost having to retrain myself.
Yeah. I do it every time I go over there still. Yeah. I mean, I come home and I put every guitar in my house in Bentonia tuning, and I'll just like, okay, okay. All right. I learned this time. I got to remember this, so I got to make myself do it like 40 times right now, yeah. So I'll remember it. Like little licks and stuff. He teaches me more every time I go. He don't want to give it to you all at once. But
I don't think it would be like opening up a fire hydrant.
Yeah,
if he done that.
Because every time we play with him, like the last couple times we played with him, Jimmy basically made me and Matt be his backing band.
Mm-hmm.
And like this last time, that's why, you know, our set got kind of cut off and then restarted, and then. But we got to play with Jimmy again later on, and he always does it. It'll be like two or three songs in, you know, and I'll be nailing everything, and then he'll be like, "All right, I'm fixing to fuck Philip up." he'll throw it into some just way different stuff and forget about the major and minor stuff and play some, you know, he knows his way around that tuning that I don't know yet. He knows how to even play in a different key in that key, like he's good.
What does that mean to be just like preferred by Jimmy? Like if you're around, he wants you to be.
That's wild.
Behind him,
it's really crazy. It's like it's so hard to describe because like whenever we're there, whenever we're running the Bentonia Festival, me and Philip are like the sound men, the stage hands,
yeah.
The backing band, the house band.
He puts you to work.
Yeah, he put us to work for sure. But it was just like to even walk by him and be like, "Oh, hey, Jimmy, how's it going?" And he'd be like, "Oh, yeah, man, how's it going?" I was just like, "Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I got it."
But then you get up there and play with him, and, I'll be behind him most of the time, and he's, you know, he'll kind of look at me and then...
Are you able to see, like, his fret handle or what's going on?
Sometimes, but I think I finally got enough understanding of his tuning to where I can hear off of it and stay with him. But he'll kind of give me this look over his shoulder to hit the little breakdown, and which is just, you know, all it is his little signature breakdown. But it's you picking that top string with your thumb, and you come up to the 12th fret on your B string, and mm-hmm. And I just, you know, he'll look at me, and when I do it, he'll look back at me. Mm-hmm. Give me that little face.
Yeah, yeah. And if you fall off the beat for a second, he cuts his eyes over his shoulder. I'm like, straight back to his foot.
He does.
I was scared as shit. I got distracted. Yeah. I'm scared playing with Jimmy the first couple of times, but when you get really into that, you really got to feel the music, and that's really cliche, but with Bentonia style especially, because it fluctuates and it ebbs and flows the whole time, and it's like, you know, you got to stick with him. On that foot.
No doubt.
Let's talk a little bit more about, like, y'all meeting, and was it always the Groove Johnson, or, like, how did y'all even meet?
We have been through, I'd say, three different iterations, if you don't count the Philip Sable Band, which we played as before we were Groove Johnson.
Yeah.
We started...
Not to my liking, but we just didn't have anything. I hate that. I don't ever want to be the Philip Sable Band.
Yeah.
Ever in any... Breaky, you know, no matter what. Right.
We form as a unit. The Groove, because when Philip plays by himself and when we play together, it's a whole different vibe. I'm singing, I'm playing drums, it's a totally different thing. We started in 2014 is Darkwater. We put out our first album is Darkwater. We played the first four shows at the Ground Zero Blues Club is Darkwater. That's when we
Have you always been Blues Central?
Some blues...
We were more... Like... Almost a cross between blues and alternative rock with Darkwater.
Mm-hmm.
I always brought the blues, and at the time Matt and Cody had come from a cover band, and they've been, you know, twin brothers are playing together forever.
Right, and I was guitar, so we just came as like a rhythm section built in.
And my buddy Josh Sessoms, our buddy, he kind of came from more of a Nirvana, Pearl Jam, Alice in Chains.
Measure alternative.
Background. Yes. But me and him actually played together for years, like at parties and stuff, just acoustics. And, you know, we were always, anytime we were together, people would be, "Hey, y'all play," you know what I mean? So we kind of, like, almost melded styles. And then when we got with them, like, the way they play together... kind of brought it all together. You know, we'd played with other drummers and people, and it just didn't work out. But then we got with Matt and Cody, and it just kind of all clicked. And we took Darkwater pretty good ways. You know, we played everywhere in Mississippi that was worth playing as Darkwater, and played, you know, we played Ground Zero numerous times. We played in on the coast. We played in Natchez and all over.
We played 78 shows Blue Canoe in 2015.
Yeah.
2015 we played like more than twice a weekend, yeah.
Yeah, we went, we did a straight Mississippi tour and all that good stuff. And then after that, like, you know, stuff happens. Josh, he ended up moving to Florida and, you know, we had a little down there after Josh left. But actually, you know, some of our best stuff was me, Matt, and Cody. And that's where, and there was a time, there was a couple of shows where Cody couldn't be there for a reason or two. And that was, me and Matt played together and we were like, holy shit, you know, we can do this.
We got like this black piece.
Yeah, we can kill this together. Like, it was in Starkville.
The first time we ever played a two-man show that was really big was at the Fountain Bar in Starkville. So the big fountain in the middle of the Cotton District.
That's right.
It was just me and Philip with a huge stage light. And I'm talking, it was like 40 degrees. And probably 500 people out there in the courtyard.
Night before the Alabama game.
Yeah, the night.
People everywhere.
Yeah, course, and we played the, we actually played the Fountain Bar every Alabama weekend for 3 years after that.
Yeah, we destroyed
it. We brought it down and we played like, you know, just, we would have the wildest shows at that bar.
Yeah.
And then we would start playing at Dave's, just me and Philip. And then we played, you know, if our other bandmates, after Darkwater, we recruited two guys from Meridian, Drew Smith and Dylan Thomas, who are both incredible in their own right at bass and guitar. And we played as Magnolia Sound Machine. But whenever the entire
We did some stuff up here. I think that at the Elbow Room, the last show that was ever at the Elbow Room, we played as Magnolia Sound Machine.
That's right.
And they were really good guys and extremely good musicians. And, you know, that kind of fell apart as time went on. It just kind of grew different directions. It wasn't really anything major that happened, and then we just decided to hell with it, you know.
You know, just in preparation for tonight or whenever I get to see y'all is, and it took me a minute. Sally May, which is Spotify or wherever music is, like, I hear old Matt back there singing.
Yeah.
I was like, first time I listened to it, it kind of threw me because I was like, that ain't Philip.
It changes, it changes everything up a little bit. It does.
Love it.
And we've got, you know, there's a, I just don't know if I want to dump the whole thing on Spotify. And we need to get,
I don't blame
with
you.
CD Baby or whatever, but we got that whole show recorded. From Sally May was live at the Money Road Unity Festival in Greenwood last year. And I actually have that whole show on CD, and I'll get you a copy of that. Yeah. I will.
I do.
And especially, you're in Starkville every day. I'm in Starkville. I can get it. Yeah. I can get it to you.
Hey, let's, maybe we ought to grab lunch one day.
Yeah, know? Hell yeah. So I don't know.
All of us, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yep, I'm down.
But let's talk about, I think it's impressive. We touched on it last time we got together on Porch Talk, but your little recorder and, like, just record doing these live takes, man. Like,
yeah.
I mean, how did you...
I just set
what
up...
What made you want to do that? It's so interesting.
I'm a widespread panic fan from way back in the day, and there was always, you know, it'd be a boom mic like this, and 40 people at the back right by the soundboard with just boom mics thrown up, recording every show, you know what I mean? And I've loved to listen to a live show that I've been to. And, you know, there's nothing... You can listen whatever cool music you want to listen to, albums, Spotify, whatever. There's nothing cooler than reminiscing of a live show that you've been to, having a CD or MP3 or whatever, and popping it in and being like, I remember that, you know, because most of the time, let's be honest, the majority of us aren't 100% sober through all of our live shows, and there's always times, I remember them playing this song, but I can't really remember it. Then you can go back and listen to it.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
So, I kind of wanted to do that with some of our stuff, and I just have that recorder's got two condensers on the front of it, and I throw up a little MXL condenser on a mic or something, and it gets pretty good. So.
I'll tell you, just reminiscing about it, I remember we used to set up a video camera in front of the stage and have like one of our girlfriends manning the camera, like when we would play certain shows, and then we would literally sit down and like watch game film from the night before. Like, it's so embarrassing. All the 20-inch TV.
No, what was embarrassing was the All-Star Sports Pub. We went back and watched a little bit of that.
Oh, we got...
I think somebody was like, delete it.
It was our third show ever. We got way too drunk.
Man. Yeah. Oh, it was this girl we knew that was working the bar. And she was quitting that night. And she just had it out with them.
She just kept bringing pitcher after pitcher
to us for free. To the point where our friends were out in the crowd during the show just drinking out of pitchers. Like, it was that bad.
Oh, wow.
She was done. She cost them hundreds that night. And we thought, man, we were like, dude, we left there. We was all high-fiving our friends and shit. We had the best show ever, man. We started watching some videos from it. It's awful. Horrible.
Awful.
Horrible.
Yeah. I was thinking about a little bit of alcohol. I totally kicked that thing's ass.
Yeah. And then you listen back and you're just like,
we were rock stars that night. Right?
Our friends had a good time. Hell, I guess it don't matter, you know.
I want to ask y'all, just like bringing it up to today, and like you've got the sound defined, and you get to back Jimmy, and let's talk a little bit about after tonight, like future dates, or I mean, what are y'all thinking? What's in the future?
I know
it's hard to call.
Yeah, we're trying our best to hit festivals, and we'll take, you know, we like to play, so whatever in between. But we got we're gonna play the Bentonia Festival this summer, and this. I'm not gonna say this, but the Bentonia Festival is gonna be really big this year. Yeah, obviously Jimmy Duck Holmes was nominated for a Grammy this year and had a lot of exposure over that.
Yes. Ain't there somebody named Kingfish?
Yeah, and there's
been interested.
There's been a little. They're gonna have to rearrange some things in front of the Blue Front because of all the interest. I'll say that. There's some stuff's going to have to move. Instead of being right in front, it's got to move out of the way so they can have a lot more room in front to the railroad tracks back there.
And something I can't say, but I'm going to say it, is your boy's going to be in the back of the Blue Front. We're going to be back there talking to the musicians.
That's what's up.
One by one.
That's going to be nice.
Well, we're playing, Friday, and we'll probably play a little bit Saturday, too. I'm not too sure about that yet. Saturday's the
day.
Friday is too. But Ryan Lee Crosby's playing on Friday.
Ryan's coming down.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I like.
What
Ryan
about Conley?
Don't know about Conley. Nick Wade's coming on Friday. So yeah. We're playing on Friday. Nick Wade's playing on Friday. Ryan Lee Crosby's playing on Friday. I want to say R.L. Boyce is playing on Friday.
Oh, I've got to take over.
Lightning Malcolm may be playing on Friday. Ooh. Like, Friday's going to be the big... I mean, Saturday's going to be a big day. Most of these people I just named are obviously going to be there on Saturday, too.
Yeah.
D. Carp is going to be there one of them 2 days.
Yeah.
It's going to be sick.
Yeah, but, you know, just being down there for the Grammy party and just, like, meeting the Bentonia crew, you know, just... Mm-hmm. Not only the people that play, but the people who are going to be there, man.
Yes. Yes.
And you weren't lying. Like, the first time we spoke here on the show was, you know, it's crazy. It's
a little over a year.
You know, you just...
Around a year, less than a year.
Yeah, you just... And you nailed the description of what it meant. It's like, you literally meet in Bentonia, which is just...
Nothing.
What is it?
You'll have twice the population of the city in the show. Show.
Yeah.
Maybe more.
It's just three or four. The biggest one I've ever seen was at the
Black, white, Asian, Hispanic.
Yeah.
It's just a melting pot of folks just having the time of
the Grammy party. I ended up with like some dude's number in my phone named Diego. Like, no idea who he is. Couldn't tell you for nothing, but I hope Diego hears this.
Same thing, like, a lot of phone numbers. Yeah. It's like, I don't remember you.
Wait till you meet Yard Chicken. Yard Chicken. I shit you not. This guy, he's a really good guy.
Oh, you told me about Yard Chicken.
He works.
He's got the boat
out back. Yeah, exactly. Yard Chicken.
The boat.
Jimmy gave him that name, right?
Yeah. Jimmy's his buddy, and they said he had a baby or something, so he went back to wherever, like, he's from out in the Delta somewhere, and he went back up there, but when he stays around there, he, like, keeps the place clean and takes care of it for Jimmy and stuff. But, he's a wild man, an old Yard Chicken. He was out there trying to bust up a pallet with an axe one day, and he went, man.
Oh, that guy. We almost threw out our shoulders before
trying to help him.
Chopping wood. We ain't chopped wood in 15 years.
You know, what's easiest about pallets is what I found, dude. We used to have to dismantle them, and, like, if you'll just take a crowbar and take everything apart.
Yes.
Don't tell me that shit.
And then you lay it out and you get, cause like it's bouncy.
Yeah,
we're out there bouncing an axe off a pallet for 30 minutes.
We had a double bitted old heavy handle axe, smoking that thing. Three of us just taking turns.
outside of the blueprint. This guy's talking to me about my shoes the whole time. I'm like, oh yeah.
I got a question that it's fun to ask now. Like, we covered a little bit through COVID and like, how are you dealing with it? But coming out of COVID, what has the experience been like? I know both of you have full-time jobs, but just not being able to play out, and then here comes some live venues allowing you to play out. I mean,
yeah.
What's the experience been like?
I'll say this about the music side, is that we've really dug into the recording and recording on our own. And that was probably like our one savior, because we couldn't play any shows. We played a Dave's live stream, and I mean, that was probably the extent of it. But in terms of my job, I felt like I was essential. I went to work every day.
I didn't have barely any. I was furloughed for 5 weeks because I was working at Mississippi State, and they shut everything down there for a little bit. But music side, I think I played like 3 or 4 times all of last year, and it was frustrating. But I believe you've met Daniel Sharp now, and not
in person yet.
Yeah, well, we record out there with him. Yeah, he's a good friend of ours, and
he's actually going to come on the show.
You need to get him on the show. He's told me
a lot of interesting things.
Daniel Sharp is one of the most interesting people I know personally. You'll never hear him say this, and he's probably going to be like, when he hears me say this, but he's like a Neshoba County folk legend.
Yes,
like all we all. Like, he's got a really unique writing style and singing style, and he's really good. I mean,
I didn't know if he was messing with me, because, like, when me and him first, like, going back and forth, was like, by the way, I was in the opening scene of Reservoir Dogs, or some film, and I was like, you just literally told me, like, before you said that you're full of shit? Are you being full of shit right now? And he sent me the screenshot from the film, and it may not have been Reservoir Dogs, but it was like a pretty prominent film, and he was like in the opening shot. And I would not doubt. That is you.
I would not doubt that happen? Man, Daniel is a very interesting guy, and me and Daniel, we've actually backed Daniel up before a few times, and we play with Daniel, you know, record with Daniel a little bit, a guy named David Lauderdale, who was a phenomenal guitar player.
One of the best to ever come out in
musicians. One of the best guitar players. He passed away. And so we originally got together with Daniel to try to help him get some of their music that they had, All Around Hounds. If you want to look it up on Spotify,
yes,
All Around Hounds, go look it up. Daniel's got his stuff with Dave on there, and it is great.
Good plug.
And then any other, you know, go find Red Light. Take a ride at the red light, baby, because you know it don't matter if you don't think twice. That's him. And Jimbo Mathis actually recorded that song for him and kind of tried to use it and did put it on an album and gave credit to Dan. I mean, it's a really good song. Daniel's that good of a songwriter. He's an amazing songwriter. But you won't ever hear him say that, but he's great. Yeah, I look up to him a lot, man.
Just into the back and forth I've had with him, it's like, man, this is somebody I can't wait to sit down with.
Are you going to come down there?
Yeah.
Let me know when you do, because I'm going to just come sit.
Okay.
I want to know what he's got to
say. Yeah, I'm just going to come hang out.
We used to, he has a play, like a big plot of land in Shelby County, and he has a big campsite that we used to stay at. And it was actually called Dark Waterville.
Yeah, ask him about Dark Waterville.
And it was like, you're talking about like just fellowship and enjoying music by the fire, playing acoustics, listening to stories.
And y'all see, this is kind of the scene that we
That's why I like it. I told Matt when we walked out, I told him, I was like, man, we should just move to Columbus and just be like Jimmy Duck, but here. Just only play here. We might go to the occasional festival, but if you want to see us, you got to come.
You know where to find it.
Yeah.
Just have a residency.
Well, that's how Jimmy does. I mean, how you think about it, that dude's got it made, man. Mm-hmm. He's got his house out in the country, and he calls the Blue Front Cafe his living room.
Yeah.
That's his living room. He just goes up there in the daytime and sells some stuff and watches TV. If somebody happens to come in from Australia, he'll play them some blues.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? On just a normal day. You go up there on Sunday, it's buck wild.
Yep. It's very hospitable.
Mm-hmm.
It is, it's about to go and be 7 o'clock.
I'm pretty sure.
I think that ends at 7.
Is that PA out there?
Looks like it's already over.
We need to bring our PA in. That's probably
Larry's. That would be a question for Lance.
Yeah, I'll ask when we get done here.
But we'll go ahead and round it out.
Yeah.
All right. So, last question. Y'all got to get ready. Y'all got to set the stage.
We look forward to it.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Munson and Brothers.
Munson and Brothers. I hate you're not here, and it ain't because I didn't tell you about it.
Right.
But that is your own bad.
Yeah.
By the time this airs, it's already happened, and the boys have left. But, and we touched on it. Just a little bit more about what's coming up.
So we have Dave's Dark Horse coming up April 30th. Yeah. Friday, April 30th, if you guys want to catch us in Starville. Assuming this comes out before then. And then
be Tuesday.
I believe it's the week of June 25th is the Bentonia Blues Festival.
A week back before that. It's in the
18th.
Yeah. We have the Bentonia Festival, and then around in September will be the Money Road Festival again. We got some stuff in the works in Clarksdale. And
I've got to get over there. I met so many people during the Grammy party.
Yeah.
And Gilbert keeps sending me people.
Yeah.
And they're all in Clarksdale. And it's like, I just need to take a vacation.
Just a whole 8-hour day.
And just go to Clarksdale.
Well, you could definitely go with us whenever we run up a gig up there. It's probably some of the same people that you met. That
might be an ideal thing. Just let me know about that, and I'll
Just hop in, because I'll probably come here and get with him.
Yep.
That's I don't want to drop any names or anything, because it ain't in the books yet, but that'll be a lot of fun. We've played Ground Zero before, and I say that it's not there that we're trying to get to. Ground Zero is fun, and it's more for, like, commercial blues.
Yeah.
And we play
y'all
that
are not commercial.
We play that raunchy stuff, so we need to...
Let's end on that note. Is like, describe Groove Johnson, because like I love telling people about it. I was like, it's like the Black Keys, only they're a little nastier and a little gnarlier.
It's like the Black Keys, but it's hill country.
If you were to go to a juke joint in the 70s, when everything, but they didn't have no compressors and everything was just dirty sounding, that's, you know, if you just think in your head the music that you would hear inside of a dirt floor juke joint, having the time of your life, and everybody in there, regardless of color or race, is grooving. You know what I mean?
Dancing
having
on top
a good
of
old
tables.
Time, dancing on the table, just
dancing
throwing
with
that.
A strange woman.
Just you know, forget who you are and have a good time.
That's right.
Well, guys, we gotta go tear the house down.
Let's do it. Enjoyed it.
Got to.
Thank you. News and notes. Thank you so much for listening to Porch Talk. If you haven't done so already, I would ask that you would rate and review the show on whatever podcast app it is that you listen to on. It helps so much with the algorithms and people being able to find the show easier. Thank you in advance. Also, I'm trying to get into the video realm, okay? We're working on equipment. I need 100 subscriptions on YouTube. We're almost halfway there. I've got 41. So if you would just look my name up or look Porch Talk up and subscribe. I don't care if you hit the notification bell. I don't care if you ever watch. I just need you to subscribe. I just need you to do that for me so I can start making videos on the YouTube live. We're going to walk this thing on out the door with Blue Sky Master. None other than Groove Johnson. I'm out of here, guys. Peace out. Thank you so much.
Ride the blue sky, baby. The blue sky, the way up high, the way up high.
green grass, watching weeks fold past. Like it, baby. Come pass me by. Come pass me by.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.